Amen. Let's praise the Lord today, church.
Amen. Amen. All right, stay standing, everyone. Stay standing. We had a big week last week. Our baptism week last week was massive, beyond anything we could ever comprehend. So I want to tell you what the final number was for all the people who got baptized in our four services. But I need a drum roll first. Drum roll. All right, you ready? Here it is. We had 93 people get baptized last week. Mind-blowing. Incredible. Praise the Lord. Amazing. So have a seat, please. Have a seat. And I want you to know, 2 years ago, we hit 101 people. We were thrilled about that. We almost hit 101 in 1 week. I mean, that is just incredible. God is just doing amazing things here through you, and it's just fun to have a front row seat on this. We want to welcome all of our brothers and sisters right now online. Can you guys give it up for our brothers and sisters right now? Join us online. We love you. So glad to see you this morning. But because of those baptisms, it makes perfect sense to talk about CORE, which is kind of a next step for a lot of us who are learning what it is to be a disciple of Jesus. So you guys give it right now for Lori and for Jessica, because they talked to us about CORE. Give it up for them.
Thank you, Nathan. RCC's mission here is win people, train believers, unleash disciples. And CORE is that last part where we focus on the winning, the training believers and winning disciples. But rather than me tell you about CORE, I've got my friend Jessica here who has been attending CORE. So I'm just going to ask her a few questions. Jess, thanks for being here. And my first question is how did you hear about CORE?
So I've actually been coming to RCC for Celebrate Recovery for a couple years now. I really struggled with anxiety and depression and questioning my salvation. I had mentioned that I wanted to be discipled, and a friend had connected me with Pastor Anthony, and he connected me with CORE.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about your experience at CORE?
Yeah, so I grew up in church, but my family left church when I was around 7. So I was kind of on my own as far as seeking God, and didn't really have anybody to walk beside me and help me to answer my questions and stuff. And so CORE is the first place that I feel like I've found that community where I've connected and have been able to ask those questions openly and get a one-on-one discipleship and really grow in my faith. And this is my Lord and Savior. I can say that. I've been completely filled with his peace.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jessica. Okay. So who is CORE for? CORE is for anyone, no matter where you are in your spiritual journey. If you're seeking God, you're a new believer, maybe you've walked with the Lord for a while, but you still have questions like Jess did, or perhaps you're somebody who wants to come alongside somebody like Jess and disciple somebody. We would love to talk to you. The tables, we're set up out there, and CORE is going to start next Sunday on the 30th, and we're going to meet at the second service over at Portable 2. Hope to see you at the table.
All right, give it up for Lori and for Jessica. And I tell you what, that's a great next step. If you're someone who wants to grow in their faith or wants to help somebody else grow in their faith, make sure you go by the table and see them right after this service. I want to encourage you, first time here, we'd love to say hi to you. Make sure you take that card and fill it out and then bring it to the Welcome Center. We have a gift for you, so make sure you see us afterward if you're a first-time guest. We want to make you feel right at home. Welcome to RCC this morning. And I want to encourage you with this. Maybe you have a child between the ages of 0 to 2 years of age, and we would love for you to dedicate that child to the Lord. We have a baby dedication that's taking place on Mother's Day, May 14th. You can sign up for that at riverchristian.church/kids. Today we're excited because we're launching this new series called Anxious About Nothing. And to be honest with you, I'm a little anxious about it, okay? So bear with me, because I know what the stakes are for you, and I know what the stakes are for the people that you love. And so a group of pastors and myself, we meet almost every week around the country on Zoom. And so we, whether it be California, Indiana, Nebraska, North Carolina, just all kinds of states. And one thing that's just taken us back and it's kind of shocked us in each one of our communities all over the country is how anxiety is taking hold of our churches and so many of our society, obviously the community, and it's almost to epidemic proportions. And I believe this is one of the most important topics we can be talking about right now. And I also believe that this will help you as you go through the series, write a new chapter in your life when it comes to anxiety, because you know you need a new chapter, don't you? You need a new chapter as you process what's happening. And anxiety is the number one issue among women, by the way. Number two issue for guys. Number one issue for guys is drugs and alcohol. And I'd actually say it's probably the number one issue is anxiety. We just medicate ourselves with drugs and alcohol, right? And men, a lot of times we have a hard time admitting, you know, I don't worry about anything. That's what we tend to go with. But for most of us, that's a lie. Men get very anxious about things. In fact, it's interesting, the latest stats say that 40 million adults, and the numbers rising, are admitting to struggling with anxiety. $48 billion a year are going to help treat anxiety. And if you have teenagers or you are a student, you know that that subgroup, that demographic, is having the sharpest increase when it comes to anxiety right now. The top five issues that we see among teens would be poverty, drinking alcohol, drug addiction, bullying. Number one by far is anxiety and depression. But it's not just for the teens. It's hitting every demographic, every single age group, every single person in our society is wrestling right now with anxiety at some level. In fact, guess which country research indicates is the most anxious nation in the world? Guess which country it is? Sweden. It's Sweden. Actually, I'm kidding. It's the United States of America, not Sweden at all. When have you met an anxious Swedish person? Probably never, right? But we United States, we are the gold medal when it comes to anxiety, which is interesting. Did you know that when people come from developing countries and they move here to the United States, that their anxiety level actually increases? It's like, how is that possible? I mean, we live in the most prosperous nation in the world. Our cars are safer than they've ever been. Medical care is pretty great. People are living longer now than they were 100 years ago. And these days, though, parents can hardly think about letting their kid go on a bicycle without wearing a helmet. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have a mom or dad who made you, listen to the question, who made you wear a helmet when you rode a bicycle? Raise your hand if you had a mom or dad who made you wear a helmet. All right? Most of us, the answer is no. Most of us, in fact, a lot of us, who probably don't want to admit it, grew up with no seatbelts in the car. When I went home from the hospital, there was no seatbelt. You know, in fact, I got a buddy of mine, he remembers on road trips as a kid, because there was a whole bunch of kids, he was the last born, they would put him, if he wanted to take a nap, he would lay on the back shelf of the Chevy Impala. And so when his dad would hit the brakes, he would go flying forward over his brothers and sisters. He remembers those days. And yet, it seems like we're safer, and yet somehow we're more anxious than ever. And I'm not sure, but I have a few theories. Whether you're a believer in God or not, couldn't we all agree that there's a correlation between us as a culture attempting to move God out of our lives, out of our country, and also the undeniable spike of anxiety? Those two things are connected. I don't think it's a coincidence. So I think there's several factors that cause anxiety among us, higher right now than ever. Number one is this: we're less socially connected than ever. In many ways, we replace relationships with technology. Many of us grew up in the 50s and 60s and 70s and the 80s, and there we were much more relationally connected. We did life together. Today, we're glued more on our phones and we're binge-watching on Netflix, and the decreases in real relationships can drive an increase in real anxiety. God designed us to do life with one another. God designed us to do life in community. And that's why I will never, ever apologize for pushing Welcome to RCC, which happens every single month. The next one is going to happen on May 7th, the very first Sunday of May. If you're in CORE, you can go to that and go back to CORE, or we can meet with you one-on-one and have you walk through the Welcome RCC class. But I want to encourage you, everyone, at 10 o'clock on May 7th, if you've never done that, go to church either Thursday night or 8:30 or 11:30 on Sunday morning. And at 10 o'clock, come to Welcome RCC, because you'll learn how to get in community. You'll learn how to get in life groups. And I'm going to tell you, it's not just for your spiritual growth. And I would encourage you, this is massive. Like, I'm here right now because of community. It's because of salvation I have in Jesus, but also because of the community of people and brothers and sisters in my life. So it's not just though, not just for your spiritual growth, but it's also for your mental and your emotional health. Second reason that we're so anxious is this. We're more aware of what others have, and also we're more aware of worldwide tragedies than ever before. All the studies show that the more social media you engage in, the higher your anxiety goes. I mean, that's not even debatable. In fact, our worship pastor, one thing he likes to say is he says, I've never met anyone who said, my life was going so bad, but then I got on social media and I feel so much better about myself. Like, you'll never feel that way on social media. Your anxiety always goes up. And one of the reasons is because of comparison. Like, I was feeling pretty good about my vacation until I saw your vacation. I was feeling good about my house until I saw what you did at your house. I was feeling pretty good about my kids. You know, they've stayed out of jail this week. But your kids, I mean, look how great your kids are. And so that comparison oftentimes drives anxiety. But the other thing that's really fascinating about it's not just comparison. The speed in which we receive bad news today often outpaces our ability to process it. Let me say it again because that's really true. The speed in which we receive bad news today often outpaces our ability to process it. I mean, the news media makes a living off keeping you anxious. In fact, if they can't keep you anxious, they're not going to have a job. And so if you don't understand that, you're going to be sucked into the vortex of anxiety. I mean, think about it. 1930s, our great-grandparents or grandparents wouldn't have found out about stuff across the world or even across another state next to them if it wasn't for days, maybe for weeks, if ever they found out about it. But when do we find out about it? We find out about it immediately. We can see what's going on in Sudan right now like we're living there. And that stuff, man, wreaks havoc to our mental health. So when you take God out of people's lives and you consider the fact that most people are not relationally connected and they're alone, and while they're alone, they're watching everybody else on social media and doing comparison, at the same time we're trying to process more and more and more and more bad news at a quicker rate than ever before, it's no wonder that we're struggling with anxiety. How could we not? So what is anxiety? Well, let's contrast it with fear. Fear and anxiety are kind of cousins, but they're very different. For instance, fear sees something. It sees it, and all of a sudden, it reacts. So it sees a threat, it reacts. Fear sees a snake, and it runs, right? That's what we've done. When we see a rattlesnake, we run. Fear is what keeps our kids from getting hit by cars, right? One comedian said this, we fear the wrong things. We fear spiders and not diarrhea. And yet, he says, more people die from diarrhea than from spiders. You should fear, he says, a chalupa from Taco Bell. That's what you should fear. So fear sees a threat and reacts, right? Anxiety, though, imagines a threat and can't move on. Like you're trying to move on from it, but you can't. You're like stuck. It reminds me of like if you've ever had a dream and you're being chased and you can't run fast enough. It's like your legs are just kind of in wet cement or something. That's what anxiety is like to me. That's how I put it. Anxiety has been described as a tidal wave of what ifs that covers over us. What if there's a rattlesnake? Well, I'll never go in the yard again. What if there's a bear in the woods? Well, I'll never go in the woods again. What if the plane crashes? Well, I'll never fly again. Anxiety is a constant state of what ifs. What if I get sick? What if my kids get sick? What if the market crashes? What if I never get married? What if my marriage ends? What if there's a terrorist attack? What if my kids get hurt in a car wreck? What if I get in a crash? What if I'm a bad parent? What if my kids' teeth are crooked? What if I don't have enough money to pay for braces for those crooked teeth? What if because their teeth are crooked, they never get a job? What because of those crooked teeth, they never get married? Therefore, what if we never have grandkids? Our lives are ruined forever. Anxiety puts our body in a constant state of fight or flight. And fear is temporary. We're good, and we see something, and we move on. Anxiety lingers. You find your body tighten up. You find your chest tighten up. You say things like this. You say, I feel like I can't breathe. How many of you guys, because of anxiety, have had a hard time sleeping at night? Raise your hand if you have a hard time sleeping because of anxiety. Now, I'll be honest with you, 3 years ago, if you asked me that question, I would have said, well, a little over 3 years ago, I would have said, no, never had a hard time sleeping because of anxiety. But all of a sudden, 3 years ago happened and COVID hit. We moved to this building, everything is rocking, all of a sudden, nobody can meet here. We had our first Easter online. We didn't have our first Easter here till 2021. We've only had our third Easter here. It's kind of crazy to think about. But here's the thing. When that hit, I started had all these what ifs and what if that and what about the staff and what about our church and what all these what ifs just kept flooding over me, and I couldn't sleep. I mean, I'd go to bed, and I'm kind of a late night owl anyway, but I'd go to bed, and all of a sudden I'd wake up an hour and a half later, and I'd have to get out of the bed, and I'd have to sleep somewhere else in the house. I just couldn't stop wrestling, moving around, just so much anxiety, and that lasted for a week. It lasted for a month, lasted all the way April, lasted May, lasted June, lasted July, lasted August. I was just worn out because of anxiety. Wore my wife out too because she's like, what's going on? All the what ifs just kept flooding over me, and some of you are having anxiety right now go up because we're talking about it in church. And you want to know why? Because many of us who are followers of Jesus have been told that you're not very spiritual because you have anxiety. Something's wrong with your relationship with Jesus because Jesus gives us peace. So if you're anxious, that must mean that, you know, you've got issues with Jesus or something like that. Something's wrong with you. Listen, can I just ask everyone right now, I want everyone on the count of three, I want everyone to breathe in on the count of three, then breathe out. You ready? Let's all breathe together. One, two, three. Breathe in. Now breathe out. I want you to hear what I'm about to tell you. Ready? Here it is. If you have anxiety, you're normal. If you have anxiety, you're a human. In fact, I was thinking about the sermon series where Jesus preached the most famous sermon of all. And right there on the Sermon on the Mount, we were there, and just a real experience preaching out of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus preached at. And one thing that happened there is I was starting to think about the series, and Jesus said there in the Sermon on the Mount that don't be worried about tomorrow, because tomorrow's got enough troubles of its own. Why are you worried about what you're going to eat or drink? God's going to take care of you. And I was thinking about this series, and I thought about the series again when we got on a boat on the Sea of Galilee. There, Jesus is hard sleeping, and the disciples are terrified because of the storm. They go wake him up. He comes up, and he just speaks to the storm, and he yells out, "Peace, be still." And the storm just dissipates like that. And not only they're not terrified of the storm anymore, the disciples are now terrified of Jesus, who's in the boat with them. And I thought about that story. But then I think what I think about most when I think about what we're about to read is this spot right here. It's Caesarea by the sea. It's an ancient port where the Apostle Paul was put on a ship to go to Rome as a prisoner. Not for selling meth, okay, but for preaching about Jesus. And honestly, I'm glad he's in prison, because if he wasn't, we would never have gotten this passage that I believe is such a powerful passage over our lives here in 2023. Paul's in prison cell, and he's about to get his head chopped off for Jesus. And here's what he writes. Do not be anxious about what? Say it with me. Anything. And we go, really? I mean, if you said be less anxious, that'd be enough. That would be a big enough challenge, but you don't be anxious about anything? Is that what you really meant, Paul? To never be anxious about anything your entire life? Actually, that's not what he's saying. The original language is written in the present active tense, meaning that if you find yourself in a constant state of anxiety, he's basically saying he's not saying don't ever be anxious. What he's saying is don't live in that. Don't stay in it week after week, month after month of anxiety. Now, here's the reality. We're all going to experience anxiety. Jesus did. Right here, we were there just a month ago, the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is praying so intensely because of anxiety, and he's sweating drops of blood. Like, I've never been that anxious. But he's in such an anxious state because he knows what's happening to him next. He knows that he has to die for your sins and for my sins. All of us are going to experience anxiety. And what we're going to talk about is that, is there a way that we can deal with anxiety so we don't stay in anxiety so much? Now, let me add here that some anxiety is so severe that it requires that you get professional help. Get that counselor. Get that therapy going. Get that medicine. Listen, there is no shame in that. There is no shame in that. God has given us doctors and medicine for certain scenarios. Sometimes our brain needs help, just like the rest of our body needs help. And let me just tell you right now, if you need help, get it. And we'll help you find it. But can't we admit that anxiety is not always a deeply physical issue? At times, for many of us, it's actually a spiritual issue. So we have to approach it from looking from our designer, from our creator, God, which makes so much sense, doesn't it, since he designed us? So we're going to look in the series. We're going to look at five verses that Paul wrote about out of that prison in Rome that gives a blueprint from God how to move from anxiety to peace, how to move from anxiety to calm. So the remaining time that we have left with this series and this verse that God gives us to deal with anxiety, let me end by saying this. If you get to the end of the sermon, you think to yourself, well, that's not everything that's going to totally clear me of my anxiety. Well, you're right. That's why you have to be here for the whole series. So you should be anxious about missing a week of the anxiety series, all right? That's what you should be anxious about. So Paul, who's about to be killed for Jesus, okay, who has a lot of reasons to be anxious, here's what Paul wrote. Look what he says. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Guess what? The Lord is near. Do not be what? Anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, say it with me, think about such things. So today, I want to focus on two verses, what Paul says out of these five. First one is this. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Read it with me. Rejoice. And we're like, are you kidding me, Paul? Just jump around celebrating what I'm anxious about. All right? I might lose my job. You want me to celebrate that? My marriage is crumbling. Like, you want me to say, oh, that's just so great. I'm still sick. Praise the Lord. Wake up, Paul. That makes no sense. Rejoice in the Lord always. What you need to know is that Paul's not telling us to rejoice in our worries. He's telling us to rejoice in who? Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And he says this, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is where? Near. Paul is saying this, belief precedes behavior. Belief precedes behavior. If anxiety is out of control of your life, what you do is you go back and figure out, what do I believe about God? What you believe and celebrate about God basically determines how you relate to anxiety. How many of you try to get your kids to jump out of the side of a pool towards you? How many of you guys have ever stood in a pool and you try to get your kids to jump out to you? Raise your hand. I want to see all those people have done that, okay? Maybe your sibling, your younger sibling or something like that. It's kind of an interesting experience. You're sitting in the pool, you're like, come on, let's do this, jump, I'm here waiting for you. And the kid gets to the edge of the pool, and what do? They stop, they hesitate. Why? Because they think they're going to die. All right? So all of a sudden, you're sitting there, and we're on the edge, and some of us, cold-blooded parents like mine, just push you in, right? That's probably why I have anxiety. So anyway, they just push you in. But what do most of us parents do? We get in the water, we're like, come on, jump, jump. I'm right here waiting for you. And what do the kids do? They hesitate. And I'll never forget, you know, I'm sitting there. I always started off really nice. You know, I'm in the pool. I'm like, come on, sweet pea, we got this. I'm here, daddy's going to catch you. I'll make sure nothing bad happens to you. But after a while, they're hesitating. I just lost it. I'm like, if you want to live to your next birthday, you better jump off right now. And why do we parents get so frustrated? I'll tell you why. Because we know how much we love them. We know how much we love our kids, and yet they won't jump. And basically their behavior is saying to us, I don't believe you. Belief precedes behavior. And the same is true with our anxiety and our beliefs about God. You see, the first thing we must do is change our response about anxiety. First thing we do is this, we have to celebrate. Celebrate what's true about God. Embedded in these two verses are things that Paul says to celebrate. He says we need to celebrate that we have a good God and that we have a God who's in control. And so we stand in between the pillars of these two facts, that our God is good and our God is in control. And if I stay here between these two pillars, man, I'm telling you right now, I stay in the safe zone and I'll be less anxious. But if I move out of the safe zone, I'll go, you know, God, I don't know if I believe that he's good because I think about all the things that have happened to me, what happened to me as a kid, what happened to me, my parents. I can't believe what happened to the losses I've had in my life. How can there be a good God? I'm going to tell you, if you operate that way, you're going to be an anxious person. Or maybe you're like, you know, I believe in a good God, but I don't believe he's really in control totally. And so if he's not in control, guess who's got to take control? I got to take control. And so if I take control, guess what happens? I get really, really anxious. And I'll be honest with you, this is my struggle. I can look back at my life where I wrestled with anxiety at one point. I gave up a ministry I was passionate about, and somebody else took it over, and I watched that person really, it didn't go well, let's put it that way. And it just broke my heart, and I got into a season of depression that was really caused by anxiety because I was not in control. I didn't realize it that much at the time. In hindsight, I realized why my thinking was so dark and so demented and so whacked out. And it was all because I was in control. And that led me into a season of incredible anxiety. And also, I got to believe that he's good. Here's the thing. Anxiety increases as perceived control decreases. Anxiety increases as perceived control that I've got on my part decreases. So should we try to control everything? Never get on a plane because it might crash? Never fall in love because we might get hurt? You know, put cameras on our kids' heads so we can have surveillance of them for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and keep them away from every bit of danger? No. You know, some of the most anxious people in the world are like me, control freaks. And the more you try to control, the more anxiety shoots up, because here's the thing I've realized in the last several years, because over time you realize this, you never really were in control. You thought you were, but you never really were in control. The Bible has a better way of saying it when he says this, you, God, will keep in perfect peace all who what? All who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Perfect peace comes when you trust that God is good and that God's in control. But let's be honest, this is so hard to do. And that's why Paul says, rejoice. He has to say it twice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now say it again. What? Rejoice. Rejoice that the Lord is good. Rejoice that the Lord is in control. Paul knew that what you're anxious about often reveals where you trust God the least. By the way, that was really good. I'm going to say it again. I better hear an amen. All right, here we go. Paul knew that what we're anxious about the most often reveals where we trust God the least. Amen. And that's just true of my life. It's true of your life. So to help your anxiety, rather than seek control, God invites us to relinquish it. And some of you, the thought of that just kills you. It does me. So everyone in the room, all right, and everyone of you online, I want you to do me a favor right now. I want everyone to raise your right hand. Raise your right hand. You guys online too, I see you. See you where you're at. See you. All right. Repeat after me. You ready? I hereby relinquish control of the universe to God. Put your hand down. Don't you feel better? All right? You've done it. Some of you are like, can we do that again? Because I want to videotape my spouse saying that. So give God control. Realize he's in control and celebrate his goodness is huge. I want you to look at verse 5. Look what it says. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is what? The Lord is what? Near. In fact, when Jesus shows up, we celebrate this every Christmas, Emmanuel is a name given to him, which means God with us. God is near. And as I look back over my life, I'm amazed at all the times God has always been there for me. Even though I thought he abandoned me, he left me high and dry. Now I see that God was with me the entire time. When I look back at my life, all the ups and downs, I can see without question that God has been with me. And many of you struggle right now seeing that God is good and that he is with you. And I pray that you believe even your darkest days, even the darkest seasons, that you believe that God will still work something out for your good in his time. Why? Because we see that over and over and over again in Scripture. Joseph is betrayed by his brothers and sold into slavery. And then years later, in front of his brothers, he says this to them: you intended to harm me, brothers, but God intended it for what? Read it with me. My good. Jesus is a perfect example. He dies, darkest day in human history, but 3 days later, good thing happened to him. He resurrected out of the grave. But it wasn't just good for him, it was also good for every single one of us. And that's not just true of the stories in Scripture. My guess is you can look back at your own life. Man, just take some time, maybe this week. Take some time, look back at some of the darkest days. And if you look closely, God has a better track record of working good in your life more than you sometimes, and I sometimes, give him credit for. He's been with you the entire time. See, it takes a death to have a resurrection. It takes a test to have a testimony. It takes struggle to have a story worth telling. It takes pain to make progress. It takes hurt to have healing. And when I look back at my life, there's been some dark hours and there's been some anxious moments more than I can even recall. And I wrestle with the what ifs and what ifs. But God has shown me that the place I need to stand is in between his goodness and his control. And if I stand right here, I'm telling you right now, if I celebrate God's goodness, I celebrate God's control. Rejoice in the Lord who's in control because he is near. I'm telling you, my anxiety goes down. If you believe that God is good, but he's not in control, guess what you do? You try to take control. If you believe that he's in control, but he's not good, guess what you do? You don't trust him. So you stand right here, and here's my question. Will you trust that God is good and that God's in control? Can you totally control if you keep your job? And the answer is you can't control the economy. You can't even control what happens a lot of times to your company. But you can trust that God is good and he's in control. And if you lose your job, guess what? He'll provide something better for you. Can you control that you'll never have financial hiccups? All the money in the world would never, ever guarantee that. So what do? You lower your means. You trust God with the tithe and trust that God, who's good and is in control, will provide for your needs. Here's a question. Can you control your spouse? Ladies, can you control your husband? Some of you are like, maybe. No, the answer is no. So what do? You pray to God. God, I'm going to turn control over to you, of my husband, of my wife. God, you do a work in them, please, in my heart. Because here's the thing. He cares more about your marriage than you do. Can you control your kids from all the dangers of this world and then making bad decisions? No. But then you remember that you have a God in heaven who somehow loves your kids more than you love your kids. So you say to God, God, I turn them over to you because you are good and you're in control. So we start this series. We need to understand that we place ourselves between these pillars. Trusting God is goodness and trusting God is in control. And I'm telling you, that will change everything. In fact, another thing we're going to do to help you is we're going to give you, each one of you, one of these wristbands. And every time you look at it, it says anxious about nothing. And it's got our logo on it. And I'm telling you right now, this has helped me have a great week. I've had a great week, not because things haven't gone crazy, but because I'm reminded every time I look down that, you know what? God is in control. and he is good. Somebody told me after last service, they said, you know what we need to do? When you start worrying, you just need to slap yourself with that. That's what you need to do. It's a good idea. But today, this week, may we celebrate a God who's good and a God who's in control and a God who's near and a God who's with you and a God, listen, a God we can trust. I'm telling you, if you do that and you celebrate him, it'll change things. Will you stand with me? Please stand. I want to pray over you right now. Heavenly Father, we ask in the name above all names, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, in the midst of our worries, in the midst of our anxieties, in the midst of our fears and concerns, that we will experience your supernatural peace that is beyond our human understanding to comprehend as we firmly place ourselves between your goodness and your control. In fact, I want to ask right now as we're praying, any of you in the room who have an anxious moment, right now you have something you're worried about, will you put your hands up that you need God to intervene in? My hands are up. Maybe something right now in your life, is you have a fear, you need God. God, help me. I see your hands. Keep your hands up. I want to pray over you right now. Father, for all those whose hands are in the air right now, Lord, I pray that you'll make your presence known, that they know that you're personally engaged and you're active, and that they would sense your presence this week. And may we sense that you're near and that you're working all things to our good according to your time. And God, I pray that you'll keep your hand on the series. Use us. Use our lives. Lord, we celebrate the God who loves us so much. And Lord, we find rest and peace not in us taking control, but in giving control back to you. Give us peace, and we ask all this in the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. And the whole church said, amen. Can we give God the praise right now for being such a good God and a God who's in control? So if there's any way it could be a blessing to you, our prayer warriors are up here. Maybe you have a worry, a concern, something anxious in your life that you need to pray over. Won't you come up right now? Maybe you want to give your life, like so many have done the last week, to Jesus and say, you know what, I need forgiveness and be baptized. Won't you come up right now? We're here for you. Let's give him all of our worship. Amen, church. His promises never fail.